Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. I'm Lawrence Chapman, and I'm a copywriter here at PMA.
Have you ever launched a new feature that went unused? Waited days or even weeks to get that user data you requested? You're not alone. We're way too dependent on developers. That's why product marketers around the world are calling AppQueues their new favorite product marketing tool. AppQueues empowers product marketers to measure and improve a product's adoption without a developer. Brands like Amplitude, Privy, Full Story and Lyft use AppQueues to track feature usage and engage users with in-app onboarding tools, feature announcements and surveys with no code required. Visit appqueues.com to start your free trial today.
Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Sue Seamer, a marketing leader for 20 years who's worked with companies like Microsoft and most recently is VP and Head of Product Marketing at Bombardier and Global Director of Product Marketing at N26. We're going to be lifting the lid on her exciting product marketing journey so far, which skills she thinks are critical for product marketers, her top tips for product marketing newbies, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show, Sue.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much for joining us. So to start, can you please just give the listeners a brief insight into your most recent product marketing role, please?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. A pleasure. You know, I think, you know, it's been quite a journey, actually. I would say my most recent role is with N26, you know, as the director, global director of product marketing for N26. So definitely I look into, you know, combination of things around one on one side around the product strategy input for product team and product management team. And the other side is really looking into go-to-market strategy and looking at the growth of the business and looking at everything right from acquisition to retention to upselling and cross-selling. And so me and my team are very much focused around these components. And of course, launches are exciting that we do a lot in the consumer space.
Fantastic. And what is it that made you want to become a product marketer in the first place?
Well, that's a very, very interesting story, actually. You know, I think it goes back to my college, you know, back when I was studying engineering in a top school in India, and we had this campus placements in our seventh semester where companies would just come over, they give us this aptitude test and then interview for the future jobs. And I interviewed for iLabs at that point of time, which is Megasoft and iLabs, a Virginia Fairfax-based company, venture capital company. And the interviewer at that time, the VP of marketing who was interviewing me, he offered me two options. He said, I can't put you behind the computer to be a software engineer. So I think you would be better fit to be in a product marketing role. And he offered me a product marketing intern role or either take up the software engineering role. And that was kind of like my choice at that time. It was, I think, really he put in faith in me. And I took on that role and I joined him. And that's how my career began. And under him, actually, I learned a lot of things around how do you do market research, you know, what exactly is a business case and how do you build it. And I think all of those things actually really made me look at product marketing early on than most people probably know about product marketing. And then eventually I got into Microsoft, which was probably the holy grail of product marketing in that sense. So fantastic learning with different teams at Redmond, working with teams in Dynamics CRM to Office business to, you know, Windows and all these different teams was really, really how I really got into product marketing. And that's how really my life changed around.
Okay. And can you talk us through your product marketing career path from your very first role to where you are now?
Wow, long journey. I would say that I think my very first real product marketing role started when I was working in Redmond with Dynamics CRM team. We were launching the very first, you know, CRM Live product, which is now the 365 products that you see in the Microsoft space. And took on that role, you know, launched the first one was an amazing thing to be a part of the ship team, and then moved into, you know, joining a few other companies. Like through Inc. Actually, as a marketer, often you get bored working for a large brand like Microsoft. You want to challenge yourself and see how you can really shape it for other companies. And so that's what really instigated me to take on some move out of Microsoft and join other companies, which did not really have the same kind of brand presence or brand awareness. So I very early on joined Sabre, and then of course Emphasis, and then very quickly moved with through Inc. And then through Inc. was this real small startup in Dallas at that time frame. And joined them as the head of product marketing, you know, to come on board and try and define it. And really, you know, was really, really important for me at that point of time to understand what the role really entailed. because in that role, I moved from just being that, okay, let's look at the segment, let's look at the market and define, to actually doing category creation, or rather, you know, defining which category makes sense for this particular, you know, business that we're going after, working with my CEO, who was kind of the product head in a way, and really working very closely with him and moving from Dallas to then to Bombardier. And I joined them at a very interesting time with Bombardier, where they were really going from a transition of being a project-centric company to becoming a product-centric company and a platform-centric company. So it was a very exciting time for me to come on board and build their marketing team and build their product marketing organization, where we would work very closely with the product organization as well, and also with the sales and the bidding and other aspects of, you know, the manufacturing business, as you probably would know. Was an exciting 2 years time frame in that role. And I think that really kind of opened my, you know, my eyes to beyond tech. You know, how does product marketing operate in an industry that's not just software or SaaS business, but also in a manufacturing, in a different kind of a, you know, product or a, you know, business. And very, very interesting time frame. And then I moved on from there to join HelloFresh Go, which is, of course, a B2B product, you know, of HelloFresh, not the boxes, but more of the fridge, the smart fridge and the kind of the vending machine style of products for businesses. And then I moved into N26 last year, actually, around September of 2020. And joining N26, obviously, was a very interesting time for me. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But interestingly, you know, this is where shaping the whole product marketing, you know, team and kind of building the vision, structuring what I did with Bombardier, I kind of replicated with N26, and it worked very well in terms of really setting up the structure and organization, the vision, the KPIs and everything. So it's been an enriching journey, I would say. With True Inc., I kind of played an acting CMO role with a VP of marketing role. At HelloFresh, I played a VP of marketing role. So I've also taken on some very different, broader roles, which encompassed performance marketing, encompassed social media, PR, brand, everything. So it's kind of been a mixed bag of experience in that sense, but also product marketing is something that's truly, you know, close to my heart. And I think it's kind of the DNA and the makeup of, you know, how I have approached marketing in different roles around in the last 20 years or so.
Okay, fantastic. And what does your typical product marketing team look like in terms of numbers and roles?
Well, it varies from company to company. Honestly, I think it completely changes also from industry to industry. You know, when you work for a company like Microsoft, you know, it's where product marketing truly, I would say, began in a big way to me in my career. And I'm pretty sure, you know, it's kind of the, you know, probably a blueprint that many companies take on and apply in that sense. And in companies like Microsoft, each product organization, it operates like its own P&L, or at least at the time when I was there. And so naturally, you know, product management and product marketing are working together. And sometimes you have one product marketing manager in individual business units, sometimes depending on what the business is. If it's a $1 billion business like service and consulting, I was probably one or two people in product marketing. But if it's a big business like Office, for example, you would have at least, you know, 10 to 15 different product marketers. So the structure obviously has been different for a company like Microsoft. And then when you look at my roles in Bombardier and the way I have built the team there again, you had 60 different product lines. And so I had to have a product marketing leader for every single product line, and then having the competition experts, having the campaign experts, having the content experts, all of that varied. With N26, I took a slightly different approach with very much, you know, knowing what the makeup was in the organization, you know, what different teams existed and, you know, how I could complement that, then try and kind of duplicate it. So it's very important to also not duplicate, or rather understand if you need to restructure and bring in some of these other responsibilities. So I think at a core or at a basic level, I structure the product marketing team based on three things. One is segments, the market segments, or either the product, you know, line that you're looking at, or often it also depends on the product organization in many ways. So in N26, I replicated the product organization to a large extent. So we had a product marketing leader for every single product leader in that sense. So it was across the journey of the product. So there was a product marketing lead for, let's say, growth or acquisition, product marketing leader for engagement, product marketing leader for memberships or subscription side of the world, or product marketing leader for, you know, let's say, you know, additional ancillary products like, you know, the insurance one that we launched recently, or marketplace, we launch it very soon. So a lot of these things that are come, you know, have been defined. And then obviously, in addition to product marketing leaders, I also tend to set up a mini team within this product marketing for the segments with a competition expert who is really data-driven, focused, you know, deep dive competitive expert. But product marketing by default needs to be that champion of understanding what's going on in the market. And then a market research analyst. Often I tend to have market research within the product marketing organization. Sometimes in some companies I've had to, you know, look at, you know, they may have had an already a market research or a user research team. So kind of like bringing them onto a dotted line kind of a structure within the team has also worked out very well. And lastly, a launch, you know, project manager or launch coordinator, because launch is something that I think is so dramatically, you know, important in most companies. And I think if you do the launch right, then you're really setting the tone for the growth of the business or the product adoption in years to go or in months to go. So naturally, launch, I think, you know, is definitely a very big job in itself. You cannot have a product marketing leader do everything. If it's a small company, you can do it. If it's a larger launch project, you sometimes need a launch coordinator in that sense. So it's kind of like this is a mix of it. A product marketing leader, a competition expert sometimes, a launch coordinator, and then very clearly a market research. So all of this kind of comprises my product marketing teams in that sense, and depends from sometimes 12 people to 18 people to 20 people at Bombardier. We had 15 to start with. I, you know, grew the headcount 27 eventually, which is what I got the approval for, you know, in companies like N26. I started with an 18 headcount request, but eventually we got a headcount of about 11 people. So it very much varies from company to company, if that kind of answers your, you know, what you were looking for in that sense.
Oh, no, absolutely. More than addresses what I was looking for there. So, as far as teams outside of product marketing are concerned, so say, for instance, sales, product, operations, etc., which departments would you say that you as a product marketer interact with most? And in your opinion, what can PMMs do to communicate with internal teams to greater effect?
Very good question. I think this is something that often is so underestimated. You know, it kind of explains the role of product marketing in a nutshell with what you're asking right now. In essence, product marketing is a central nervous system of the companies to a large extent. So, you know, the interaction with everybody is equally important. I think the product marketing is, you know, is kind of an aggregator in many ways. You know, you're aggregating, you know, what's going on from the product side of the world, helping enable the sales teams, you know, by doing the sales enablement, talking to customer experience and understanding what's going on with customer experience, what's going on with the consumers and, you know, customers, whether it's a B2B buyer or whether it's a B2C buyer, you know, what are they really, you know, giving the feedback back on. So every different department is important in this case. And so naturally, you know, the most important stakeholders by default are product on one side and then the sales on the other side in the B2B space. In the B2C space, often it's also the marketing operations, like, you know, your content team, your social media team, your design, creative, everybody, PR, lifecycle, all of those things kind of play a role there. And then very important is the customer experience or the customer feedback, because that's how you really drive that feedback. And then the data team, which is super, super crucial. And then, of course, when I say product, sometimes design and user research can be a part of the product organization. Sometimes they can be a separate part of the organization. And so working with, you know, all these five different entities, which I say product, sales, marketing, markets, also local markets, because often product marketing roles are global roles. So working very closely with the individual markets and understanding what's going on in these spaces, so you can really reflect it back in your planning. And then, of course, the data, you know, user research, user design, all of these elements play a role there in that sense. It's very, very important to be keeping your, you know, ears open and, you know, wide open to listening to everybody. This is, I think, the crucial role, you know, to really be successful in this role for any product marketer.
Okay. And in terms of, you know, what's helped you become successful, what would you say the top three skills are that have helped you get to where you are today?
Wow. Well, I think, you know, I would say I'm still a work in progress in that sense. You know, we're all learning. But I would definitely say, I think for anyone aspiring to be a leader, a product marketing leader, I think there are three really important things. Number one is being a really, really strategic person, number one, because you really need to understand, you know, what's going on in the market, having that pulse on the market, you know, understanding what's going on with your customers. How are they using your product? How are they, you know, adopting your product? What takes them to, you know, pay attention to, you know, purchase the product, even talking to your performance teams and understanding, you know, what's the acquisition journey looking like, you know, at what touch points, what keywords are they searching for? All of these things are super important. So being that strategist in a way, kind of thinking about, you know, becoming an owner in that sense to really understand what your market is looking like, what the landscape is looking like. The second thing is being a really good storyteller. You know, this is super, super important because you define, as a product marketer, you are responsible for the value proposition of the product and, you know, how you tell that story back to the market. So if you're not really good at storytelling, then it's really a fail of the role. And I think maybe you're better off doing something else other than doing product marketing. Super, super important to be really good storyteller. I think knowing the pain points, understanding the use cases, understanding the competition, and then identifying what's really that one unique differentiator that calls out, you know, and that's how you really build that value prop. Number three, I would say super important is to really be data driven because you really need to understand the behavior. We are past that life, you know, where products would launch and then, you know, customers would go use it in the software and then you would have no data to really know what's going on. Now everything is online. You know, you have apps now. So monitoring the journey, monitoring the behavior of a user, you know, how are they adopting, you know, what stage do they drop off? What stage do they not, you know, click on that specific, you know, feature? Are they really leveraging the feature? How are they using the specific, you know, product? What's really going on? I think all of these things are super, super important. So having a pulse on data is extremely crucial to be successful in the role. So I would say really three things that is important for both product marketers and leaders in product marketing essentially are being strategic, you know, being a good storyteller, and being very data driven and understanding the financials as well, very important because you must have a really good relationship with your finance team when you're working on building the business case. These three things are super important. Another element of being a product marketing leader, I would say, is also having that soft skill of a good leadership skills, you know, very much about being, you know, bringing people together, you know, motivating people, creating that energy and exciting the whole organization about a launch. It has to be the product marketing. Nobody else is going to be super excited. I would do this often every time a launch is, you know, executed, send out that big update, you know, this is what we did. This is how the buzz is in the market, you know, what's going on, what consumers, and that's what creates the momentum in the company and people understand, you know, what's going on with the launch and, you know, why this team is important or what are they actually doing. Often this is misunderstood in many companies. So it's super important, I think, to be successful is to not be shy and to be, you know, vocal about these specific, you know, wins in that sense and celebrate, you know, obviously it's important to celebrate. Yep.
Okay, great. And, you know, just looking at your, you know, your personal product marketing, you know, skill sets, you know, you're clearly very versatile. And amongst those skills or specialties, if you like, is, you know, almost like a propensity for customer retention. What would be your advice to product marketers on how to boost their customer retention rates?
Such an important question. And I think often, you know, this is something that only recently people have started to pay attention to, given that, you know, now we have a completely different ball game that we're dealing with, you know, which is really more app-centric and SaaS-centric in that sense, compared to early years. So 10 years ago, we didn't really have that kind of, you know, importance to retention. Of course, customer retention was important in a different way. In the B2B side, you're looking at, you know, customers are renewing their contracts. But in the recent years, it's more about customers staying on, you know, using the product, you know, adopting the product. So I would say the most important thing in my perspective as a product marketer or product marketing role for retention, I think retention is the most important you know, KPI that we impact as a product marketer. Number one is knowing to build the right kind of products and features that actually are valuable for the user. There's no point in going and building 30 different features that nobody's going to use, you know, and it's just a waste of time, but rather being very crystal clear, understanding what are the real pains, both spoken and unspoken pains, and building features that are actually important, you know, for the consumer or for the buyer in that sense. And really, that's number one. And number two is really looking at the adoption, you know, how are they really using the feature? Oh, you launch the feature, you launch a product. What happened? You know, are they actually using it? Are they really leveraging it? You know, keeping that eye on, you know, what the adoption metrics looks like is super important, I would say. And number three is really, you know, leveraging lifecycle, you know, leveraging, you know, CRM strategies to really understand, you know, how are people using, are then moving them up the ladder, whether it's, let's say, a subscription, you know, that you're moving them up from a lower subscription, you know, rank to a higher subscription, or whether you're trying to upsell them other products and services. All of these things, you know, play a role. And even in the B2B space, it's about making sure that you're actually, you know, working with the sales team and understanding what's going on, how are customers perceiving the product, and are they giving us a good feedback? You know, how's the CSAT looking like? All of these things, you know, how's the NPS looking like? All of these factors play a role for sure. I think, you know, retention to me depends on two factors end of the day in what you do. One is the features you're building. Number one, as a product marketer, what are you giving back to the product team? How are you validating them and giving that input? Number two is how are you telling the story of those features to the customers so they actually understand it and use it. If a customer has not adopted the feature, then it's largely because they have not understood the feature, or it's because, you know, the feature was not useful for them. So I think this is, I think, two, you know, what do you call that? A dichotomy that you must solve, you know, with understanding better on data and really knowing if you really built a good feature and kind of like going back and looking at the retention numbers and seeing how that plays a role. So retention, churn, all of these things are definitely directly related to the product marketing role and absolutely crucial to really know what you're building and knowing, you know, how you're going to take that to the market and make sure that your customers understand it and are educated and, you know, are using it in a big way.
Okay. And you touched, very briefly on the importance of messaging and communications or storytelling and the role that they play in customer retention. But from your perspective, what does compelling messaging look like, and what can product marketers do to create messaging that will resonate with the target audience?
Wow, that's a beautiful question, actually. You know, I think it's one of my favorites, actually, to say that, you know. I think messaging is so important. I would say that, you know, I have this structure that I give my team often on how to build messaging. I say, you know, hey guys, first, look at the pain points. You know, let's start with, you know, first, who's the target audience we're going after, number one? You know, what are you really trying to, whom are you trying to, you know, go after? Let's build the persona first, understand, you know, what their pain points are, you know, and whom are we really, you know, of course, it has to be done much earlier in the product planning stages, but often you need to reflect back when you're building the messaging and building the value prop. Number two is then identifying what are their really use case or pain points they're trying to address. And number three is then look at the competition. You know, what are they offering? What are their specific, you know, unique benefits, or what are the unique advantages they're calling out? And then come back and then distill what are the top three benefits that we offer with this product or feature. And then what's that unique differentiator from our point of view, you know, what's our competitive advantage, and then build the messaging combining all these elements. So a good messaging should tell the buyer, or, you know, whoever is paying the money for that, you know, whether it's a consumer purchasing a consumer product or whether it's a, you know, let's say a CFO purchasing a B2B product, they need to know crystal clear that this product is for them. It's going to solve their most pressing pain points. And more importantly, it's offering them something that is not available in the market from any other player. That's a differentiator part. So if these three components are covered very well, that's, I think, a big part of the messaging. And of course, there are many, many marketers out there who have defined their own, you know, types of templates and structures and, you know, a chunk of mumbo jumbo, you know, words out there in the industry. Trust me, we marketers are very good at building our own, you know, hypothesis and our own theories about how to write stories and things like that. It's just very, very chaotic, but it's really simple in that sense. A good message has to be simple. You know, like I say, you know, keep it simple, really simple, straightforward and has to be quantifiable. I think for B2B buyers, it's even more important to get into the metrics, you know, of what exactly are you bringing in, what percentage of, you know, cost savings are you bringing in, what percentage of value are you bringing in. The B2C, it's more emotional, you know, it's more about making sure that you're actually able to allow a consumer to immediately connect with your brand, connect with what you're offering, and make that immediate purchase. So it's very different, you know, storytelling in both B2B and B2C, but it's important to know that you need to hit on the pulse of what is important for the buyer. I think that's what simple, crystal, clear, straightforward, and please, no lengthy messages, short and simple. That's important. It's not like how I explained right now, but I would say, you know, messages have to be really, really simple and short in that sense, really, you know, make that connection to the consumer and to the customer.
Key takeaway, short and sweet. So obviously, you know, in your introduction, we went through some of the companies that you've worked for and, some real, top companies in the industry. But what challenges have you encountered during your way through the product marketing domain, if you like, and how did you overcome any struggles that you faced?
Wow, that's a good question. I think I have to think about this a little bit now, because challenges have been many and plethora of challenges. I can tell you that. I think, you know, as a product marketer, when I was an individual contributor, I think the kind of challenges I had at that time was, how do I make sure that everybody's buying into my ideas or my, you know, what I'm trying to launch here, or, you know, how am I going to make sure that the product team is giving me the right information in time, making sure that I have enough time and enough, lead time to prepare the good launch strategy. And those were some of the challenges, because often product teams, you know, struggle with their own roadmap, you know, meeting the deadlines and stuff like that. And that's what was kind of a challenge at that time frame. I think as a leader, the challenge is slightly different. I think in the leadership role, often I have seen that most companies don't understand product marketing. You know, most companies confuse product marketing to be something of marketing. They go, hey, you're the launch guys, you know, just go launch it. And then often sometimes you're confused as, no, you're the product guy, tell us what product you're building. And so it's very much misunderstood in many organizations. And I think, especially when it comes to founders and CEOs, they really do not know what they're investing in. It's kind of a very fuzzy thing for them. They know there's a marketing communications department. So why do we need product marketing? You know, what's the need for that? And they know they have a product department and they know product can do everything. That's how they believe they should be. I think it's very misunderstood. And my challenge has largely been around explaining, you know, what are we missing, you know, in this overall setup, and why product marketing is so crucial to make sure that you're not just simply telling a brand story, but you're actually telling a story that makes sense to the customers around what features and products are actually going to give them the value. They don't just buy on brand. They want to know that this is actually, you know, useful, you know, as a product. And, you know, I'm going to get the features that's going to improve my life or going to make my life better. So a lot of these things can only happen when you have a good product marketing team on one end. And for product team to really make smarter product investments, a good product marketing team often does the groundwork of doing the research, doing the analysis, and coming back with a proposal that this is what our customers want you to build. And, you know, helping also product team validate that, whether it's a pricing validation, whether it's the pain point validation, whether it's a messaging validation, everything, the whole nine yards of validation is something that product marketing can really play a very strong role in. And often, you know, communications team, I think, have been extremely grateful having somebody in between and, you know, translating the engineering language, you know, rather the product team's language into more simpler, you know, consumer or a customer facing language. And then more importantly, sales team. I think sales team are probably some of the most important, you know, customers of product marketing organization in many ways. And they know how important it is, how quickly their sales deals can close if they have a good product marketing partner who can come and help them building that, you know, nurturing, whether it's a sale deal nurturing, whether it's around the strategies of ABM, you know, whether it's around looking at, you know, how, you know, kind of automation, you know, marketing automation, and thinking about what kind of communications can be sent to, you know, make sure that we are kind of shortening the sales cycle in that sense. So it's very, very important. This has probably been the biggest part of the challenge. And I would say lastly would be really business case development. Often, you know, I think most companies don't understand how crucial it is to bring in product marketing in those early stages when you're actually building the business case for a product. And often it's too late in the game when they realize, oh, we haven't done a real proper timestamp software long, you know, yet. And we don't know, you know, yet what exactly is the sizable opportunity that we are going after. And we are just simply putting numbers here, you know, that are just fake numbers or don't really make sense. And that's when they realize, oh, we could have validated this had we gone to product marketing, or had we had a team like this, you know, who could have gone out and validated the market size and come back to us and given us much more meaningful data that helps. So I think it's really, you know, I think my experience in US has been very different than my experience in Europe. I have to say this. In US, I think companies often understand product marketing very easily. In Europe, it's still a progress. You know, I think it's still a lot of companies are adopting it. They're learning, they're taking on. If you're a multinational company, you know, headquartered in US, obviously you understand product marketing. But if you're a company that's starting in Europe, you know, you're still getting to know the concepts. And, you know, we used to call it brand marketing in the past when the consumer space. And so companies are starting to adopt and learn. So it's been definitely, the challenges have been largely around the understanding of product marketing to a large extent.
Okay. And then of course your product marketing career spans, you know, 20 years, and you've worked with some, you know, awesome companies and continue to work with some amazing companies. But what would you like to see change in product marketing to make it even better than it already is?
In companies? Wow, that's a very good question. I would say that moving away from the theory to practicalities, I think, is super important. Often what happens is, you know, when you are in the center of everything that's happening, it's very easy to get disillusioned in a way where you don't really see the end results of what's happening. Let's say a creative that, you know, an SEM team created didn't really work very well. And it's not really the SEM's job. You know, as a product marketer, you have to look at it, whether the messaging, was the messaging right? Did I give the right use cases to my SEM team? Did they build the right ad message? Did the ad actually land well? So having that kind of laser sharp look at, you know, what's going on at the end execution. In the B2B space, you know, what's going on with the deals closing, and really, are the sales team able to close the deal quickly? Did the decks that they presented, did the materials they present landed well? Did the customer read it? Did they actually understand it? I think having that level of, you know, focus on keeping that pulse on the end customers, going and talking to customers, you know, meeting with customers often, you know, spending time with both B2B customers is often easy because you can get hold of B2B customers. But even in the consumer space, go talk to your friends and your family members, or even, you know, the forums that you can set up, you know, or user groups that you can go talk to, you know, to understand how are people using the product, what actually is making sense. I think this is very important on one end, to really stay true to what's going on. On the other side, it's very important to also be aware that it's not just about, you know, okay, meeting the P&L of that specific product, but also looking at the numbers beyond that. You know, what's the leadership, you know, really aiming for? What are the growth numbers we're aiming for? What are the revenue numbers we're aiming for? What's the profitability that we're aiming for as a company? Is my product, you know, or my product unit really helping achieve that? Is my product even relevant anymore? Or is it actually time to shelve it? You know, so a lot of these questions, I think, is important to question and think beyond just, you know, your role of being a product marketer. So I think it's very important to not get cushioned between the different teams and to actually, you know, go out there and be open to, you know, dealing with the realities of what's going on with, you know, which a channel, you know, whether a certain PR message would land well, you know, did the journalists understand it, you know, were they excited about it? A lot of these things, you know, can actually give a very good fodder and feedback. So I would say modernizing is important in that sense. And then second thing I would say is the whole world has changed, you know, with the recent 1.5 years of the pandemic. Things have dramatically changed. You know, everything is digital, and, you know, it's not anymore, you know, you cannot say you don't know what's going on anymore about your product. You can actually see it in action. You can actually measure everything. And so I think having that quick turnaround experimentation mindset is super, super crucial. You know, knowing, you know, what's working, what's not working. And I think not planning for, you know, 1 year of a launch, but rather planning for more of a monthly basis. What can I do more? Working with the life cycle, you know, working with the CRM team to kind of experiment and really run experiments on an ongoing basis to see what's working, what's not working. How can we, you know, rank up the numbers? You know, how can we look at, you know, what's really going to drive the higher retention usage of the product? So I think this is kind of very important and not be theoretical anymore. So this is a transition that the product marketing team, I think it has to do, you know, has to often do more important, but even more important, I think in this, you know, year, especially 2021 and coming next couple of years, 2020, 2023, very, very important to do that.
Okay. Well, we're nearing the end of our chat, Sue. But just to kind of wrap things up, it's been an amazing episode. I really enjoyed it. But just to kind of wrap things up, if there are any new or aspiring product marketers listening to this episode, what would your advice be to help them get the most out of their product marketing journey?
I would say be curious, number one. You know, often, you know, don't be so involved in your own world. Get out there, talk to other people, you know, network with other, you know, marketers, understand what their, you know, life looks like, you know, what are they doing? You know, I know that in my experience, I've seen that often, you know, other marketers are not so open to, you know, sharing because everybody's worried about the numbers and the data and, you know, how it can be misinterpreted. But, you know, make friends in other, you know, in other marketing streams, make friends with product team, you know, beyond your own product, you know, line, and get to know the other products, understand, you know, what's going on with other products and how it's connected to your product and how you can actually, you know, make the most of it. And I think I would definitely encourage, you know, anybody who is listening in this you know, product marketing space, I would say, more importantly, don't put on the hat of product marketer, put on the hat of a business leader often, because the minute you put, and also put yourself in the shoes of the CEO often, the minute you pluck yourself out of your own world or your own role and put yourself in the role of a CEO or a founder is when you truly start performing your best as a product marketing leader, because that I think is essential, is understanding what the big picture is, where the company is headed, where the business is headed, and how can I shape it? Because this is a very, you know, malleable, you know, role in that sense, and you make it what you want it to be. And that's how I would say product marketing is, you know, you make it, you know, how you bring, what skill sets and strengths you bring in. And I think grow as a leader in that space. Of course you can, and I think that's the beauty about it, that you need to do so many things. You're not a very specific, you know, you don't have a specific charter, you have to do everything. And I think taking on that step, you know, thinking beyond your role, thinking like the business owners, I think is super crucial to really succeed in this space. Thank you.
Sue, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Have you enjoyed it?
Absolutely. I really enjoyed the questions. They're very, very interesting. And you put me on the spot often. So I'm really, you know, really enjoying, you know, I hope that, you know, I've helped anybody who's been listening here, anyone's listening here, I hope to have helped them. But beyond that, absolutely, please feel free to reach out to me. You know, anyone here has any questions, any doubts, you know, whether you're trying to figure out how you want to build a product marketing team within your organization, or whether you are an up and coming product marketer, knowing how to, you know, move across this journey. I'm open to all different, you know, questions you may have, and happy to help in any way I can. But Lawrence, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much. Likewise. Take it easy.
Thank you.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.